What's your take right now in terms of what we know about arterial events as well as cardiac toxicity with bevacizumab alone, not just in breast cancer, but just bevacizumab?
I think that, you know, there is concern for these events, but in some of the other disease cohorts, the risk for thromboembolic events was, you know, quite small. And so, you know, I'll be anxious to see how the pilot breast adjuvant bevacizumab study looks, because it is using a novel chemotherapy base with anthracyclines, which all of the other disease states, I think, have used non-anthracycline regimens. I don't know if that'll change thromboembolism necessarily, but it's a defined risk, but I don't think that it's prohibitive from what I've seen from the colorectal data set or the renal cell data sets or other diseases, lung cancer, et cetera.
It has cardiac. I mean, there's been clearly arterial events have been seen, but have there been any signals about cardiac toxicity?
Sure. If you look at the bevacizumab package insert, they describe a small but defined percentage of congestive heart failure in the bevacizumab arms of the colorectal studies, for example. Now, it's really small, you know, a couple, 3%, I think it was, but it's there. And it seems to be higher than in the control arm, though there are no statistics in the package insert. It is described, though, and so it is a concern. Mechanistically, from an armchair perspective, you know, one could envision that the hypertension that's associated with bevacizumab could increase the afterload on the heart. So if somebody has any sort of predisposing condition in the myocardium, it could be unmasked by the increase in afterload, and that could tip them over into a decompensated state if they were headed that direction in the first place. I have no idea if that's really the mechanism to explain these observations, but it's one mechanism that has been proposed, and it's a plausible one.